There's that school bell. When you hear that bell, you know it's time for the Warren County Radio Bible School. So grab your Bible, pull your chair up to the radio, turn it up, and follow along with us. And be a student in this school. And you'll learn much about God and His Word and His will for you. Now this lesson is lesson number 584. And we're looking at a Sunday school lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday schools of May the 4th, 1924. And this lesson is about the Assyrian exile, how they were the children of Israel, the northern tribes, were carried away into Assyrian exile. As I mentioned in the last program, this was northern Israel's trail of tears as they went away, never to return and to lose their identity as tribes. Those Israelites would be cut off from God until that coming of that great day in the New Testament when the gospel is preached unto all the world and all of those of all the world, including those who were the descendants of these very Israelites that would believe and repent and obey the gospel in baptism, would come up out of that water and added to God's spiritual kingdom. But now we're reading about the time in which they were physically carried away into Assyrian captivity. We have come to 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 9, and we'll begin there in just a moment. Now, before we get there, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's look at our text. 2 Kings chapter 17 and verse 9. The children of Israel did secretly things that were not right against Jehovah their God, and they built them high places in all their cities, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. You see, they did these things secretly. They broke God's covenant and adopted idolatry, licentious worship, and immorality of these and other heathen nations. In Judges chapter 2, verses 11 through 15, we read, "The children of Israel did that which was evil in the sight of Jehovah, and served the Balaam. And they forsook Jehovah, the God of their fathers, who brought them out of the land of Egypt, and followed other gods, the gods of the people that were round about them, and bowed themselves down to them. And they provoked Jehovah to anger. And they forsook Jehovah, and served Baal and the Ashtaroth. And the anger of Jehovah was kindled against Israel. And he delivered them into the hands of spoilers that despoiled them, and he sold them into the hands of their enemies round about, so that they could no longer stand before their enemies. Whithersoever they went out, the hand of Jehovah was against them for evil, as Jehovah had spoken, and as Jehovah had sworn unto them, and they were sore distressed." That way back in the book of Judges, and now, ultimately, here in 2 Kings, as they forsook God, and then God forsook them, they committed the very sins for which God drove out and destroyed these wicked nations. Therefore it was just and right that he should drive them out now. They also walked in the statutes of the kings of Israel, who made calves at Bethel and Dan, who introduced the worship of Baal with all its infamous practices. These heathen practices and customs had become law unto them. In 2 Kings chapter 16, verses 3 and 4, we read, that this king walked in the way of the kings of Israel, yea, made his sons to pass through the fire, according to the abomination of the nations whom Jehovah cast out from before the children of Israel. And he sacrificed and burnt incense in the high places, and on the hills, and under every green tree. And so, it was because they forsook Jehovah and served the gods of their land and their culture that this caused the downfall of this kingdom in northern Israel. How we should take warning. Now let's continue with these explanatory notes. We read in 2 Kings chapter 17 in verse 9 that they did secretly things that were not right against Jehovah their God. They practiced some abominable sensual forms of idol worship in secret. They were bent on idolatry and made an effort to conceal these practices either from God or man. Some say this means that they covered their idolatry with the pretense that it was worship of God Jehovah. The word secretly means more than that. It means they did these things in secret. They set up idols in secret. We read back in the law in Deuteronomy 27 in verse 15, "Cursed be the man that maketh a graven or molten image, an abomination unto Jehovah, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and setteth it up in secret." And all the people answered and said, "Amen." But the children of these people that originally agreed to that law of Moses now forsook that law of their parents and of Moses and did these things in secret. And they built them high places in all their cities. These high places have already been described, from the tower of the watchman to the fortified city. These towers were built in vineyards, Isaiah 5 and verse 2, and in other places. And they kept them watchmen that were stationed to guard over their crops and flocks. And they were frequently in the last inhabited places. This expression means that in all places, altars were erected for idol worship. Now we read in 2 Kings 17, verses 10 through 12, "And they set them up pillars, and the Asherim, upon every high hill, and under every green tree. And there they burn incense in all the high places, as did the nations whom Jehovah carried away before them. And they wrought wicked things to provoke Jehovah to anger. And they served idols, whereof Jehovah had said unto them, Ye shall not do this thing." The pillars, the margin of the American Standard Version calls them the obelisk, were possibly of hewn or rough stone. The Asherim were wooden symbols of the goddess of Shura, or other wooden images, not simply groves. These pillars and wooden images were set up by their altars. In Exodus 34, verses 13 through 15, we read, "But ye shall break down their altars and dash them in pieces. Their pillars ye shall cut down, their Asherim. For thou shalt worship no other god, for Jehovah, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest thou make the covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and play the harlot after their gods, and sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat his sacrifice." And we read in Deuteronomy 16, verses 21 through 22, "Thou shalt not plant thee an Asherah of any kind of tree beside the altar of Jehovah thy God, which thou shalt make thee, neither shalt thou set up a pillar which Jehovah thy God hateth." And yet, that very thing they did upon every high hill and under every green tree. Hills and groves were especially selected for these altars and images erected to the worship of idols. Sometimes, to make high or elevated places, mounds were thrown up. The groves became temples of the licentious and abominable worship of idols. In all the high places, the Israelites burned incense as worship to these idols. They practiced all the abomination of the nations whom God drave out and served idols, whereof Jehovah had said unto them, Ye shall not do this thing. Listen to Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee a graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, Jehovah thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and upon the fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing loving kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. In Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 1, God said, Ye shall make no idols, neither shall ye rear up a graven image or a pillar, neither shall ye place any figured stone in your hand to bow down to it. For I am Jehovah thy God. Hear the word of the Lord from Deuteronomy 4, verses 15 through 16. Take ye heed, therefore, good heed unto yourselves. For you saw no manner or form on the day that Jehovah spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Take heed, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image in the form of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged bird that filleth the heavens, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the water under the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes to heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, thou be drawn away and worship them, and serve them, which Jehovah thy God hath allotted to all peoples under the whole earth. And one more. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 15. Cursed be the man that maketh a graven or molten image, an abomination unto Jehovah, the work of the hands of the craftsman, and setteth it up in secret. And all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Idolatry had its attractions and fascinations. And what were they? Well, it appealed to the senses and the animal passions. It presented a visible image or form of the god worshipped. When Aaron made the golden calf, he intended it as a visible aid to the worship of God. In Exodus 32, verses 4 through 6, says, When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, Tomorrow shall be a feast to Jehovah. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and to drink and to rose up the play. You see, under Aaron, there at the foot of Mount Sinai, they were not turning to other gods, but they were setting up idols in worship of Jehovah. In contrast with the idols, Jehovah was invisible. And he called attention to that fact when he appeared to Israel, that they saw no form. Deuteronomy 4, 15 through 19. Idolatry presented a splendid sensual system of services, embracing revelry, licentiousness, and the exercise of passions, requiring no restraint, repentance, and confession of sins. But every evil thing could be practiced in the name of worship. It appealed to the worldly and fashionable, and was supported by the learning and wealth and power. All these combined made it a mighty influence for evil destruction. The worship of the invisible God was pure, true, sincere, righteous, and required therefore a forsaking and confession of sin that has always been opposed by worldly wisdom and power. We'll read more next class.